You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bears.
Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mark Grody with Bernstein and Holmes.
You know, are you being chased by a lawnmower, Mark?
I'm actually trying to get away from him, yes.
Leave me alone, sir.
Get you, Grody.
Mark Grody.
Whatever, the Bears suck.
On The Score.
Dan and I just made plans to go to Saginaw's.
I say
get
we
get a drink in the Circa limo.
I say we drink in the limo. I say we go to Saginaw's at some point before bed. We get pastrami and their homemade chips and a big bowl of matzo ball soup, and then
pass out because I've gotten 0 hours of sleep.
No, not yet. Not yet. It's Vegas. They're pumping oxygen in there to keep us awake.
I did that actually.
So I'm gonna bring my my lactase pills. So
and Dan is in for a big
yeah,
night.
Yep. And if I'm bringing the lactase, because then we're going over and we're getting the fruity pebbles. Not Fruity Pebbles, the Captain Crunch Crunchberry Shakes.
All right, so I'm running for 2 hours on the treadmill when I land, and then I'll figure this out.
No, you get your walking, and you carry your bag around. It's fine.
Nope,
we're all good.
Nope,
that's
me.
A plan. That's a plan.
Okay.
Now let's talk to Mark Grody. Is that what we're doing? Cool.
Is he here?
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm here.
Hey.
I'm here.
Gross.
I'm hanging out.
Hey, what'd you do?
I'm hanging out with you guys.
What'd you do to Bob last night? You gave Bob short shrift.
I just didn't have time for Bob last night. I went on the show last night thinking I had a full hour, and then because I looked at the schedule incorrectly, and then I learned that the show was only like 20 minutes. So I was like, oh my God. And I was like, I had asked for calls, and the calls came running. I'm like, man, oh man. And then Bob, of course, was the first call. And I just didn't have it in me. I put Bob on hold, and I didn't have time to come back to him. It was a one-game suspension for Bob. Let's put it
okay,
that way.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Good. Smart move on your part.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
so, Grotz,
so
what did you think of Eberflus saying, look, we've seen all that we need to see from our starters. Let's get ready for week one.
I would have preferred to have seen them out there for a series or two. I guess that the answer to that is we have to – well, no, nobody has to trust him, but I guess you have to go with the plan that they have, and that is that they – obviously they're out here practicing today, which was not initially on the schedule, and I think this is the reason, this practice study is the reason that the starters will not play tomorrow, that they feel like they can get a little better work in right now. I just hope that they are diligent and intense in whatever work they do in practice leading up to it, and that the ramp up remains intense. And I guess we'll see. It'll be interesting to see who all plays tomorrow night, which starters actually will get in. I'm actually looking out at the field right now on 64 check. And yeah, Nate Davis is out there again. So I guess that's good news. Oh, and by the way, before I forget to mention it, sight seen out here at practice for the first time in a long time. I wasn't out here yesterday, but Jaquan Brisker seems to. I've spotted number 9 on the far field as I'm talking to you guys.
Maybe he'll play.
Maybe. But, I mean, Jaquan Brisker, and there's a topic about this every year, about Jaquan Brisker, really good player, but does he put himself in too much danger? And we know that he's been prone to injury and concussion and things like that. So honestly, like, he could probably use the work, use the time, but I would not play Brisker. I would not play Brisker.
See, that's where I sit with this preseason game, though, is you do have a big gap, partially because it's on a Thursday, partially because of the next Sunday being the 8th. I do think some of these starters should play based on the fact that they haven't gotten at least 43 snaps like Caleb Williams has, for example.
Yeah, and it crushed them last year. I mean, and I do think that they've been very cognizant of what happened last year, the 0-4 start to the season and the light work during preseason and how when, and to some degree I understand that when a guy has the slightest injury in its training camp and its practice, get him out of there. But last year,
it's also a causality reach. The amount of presumption in there of the post hoc ergo propter hoc that saying that they were bad because I don't buy it. It's too facile.
You don't buy it because
there's no reason to. There's no logical reason to presume that they were 0-4 because they didn't play enough in the preseason. They might have just been bad.
That's absolutely true. I mean, I don't think you assume it, but I think that you absolutely put it in as a factor. I mean, they came out last year, Dan, in the first game like they didn't even have training camp. So how could that not have?
They might have done it anyway.
A part of it.
I don't know. There were communication issues. Like, you could tell that they were playing together.
Well, yeah, and I think so. Like they're just like, this. I mean, this training camp has been very different, and they have even said, or at least indicated, that part of the problem last year was that they just weren't ready going into the season. That there were what, 18 guys I think in the week before the first game that were on the injury list last year, and it's because with an abundance of caution. And then, you know, the season starts and they're all active and then they're bad for four games. So while, of course, it's not everything, because that would be like, then you're saying, oh, the talent was great. And we all know it wasn't great last year. But absolutely, I think it has something to do with it. For all NFL teams, the way they conduct their camps these days, the NFL always sucks in the first few weeks. I disagree. I think that it's definitely a factor. Not all of it, but a factor for sure.
No, Andy Reid doesn't care.
Well, Andy Reid's got Patrick Mahomes, and he can play those games. You know what I mean? Like, other teams don't have that elite quarterback, don't have the GOAT on their team. So he can do a lot of things differently than other teams can do.
So, Groats, with Jaquan Brisker, I think that you're right. I think that his style of play might lend to him not being out there. I'd love to know who's on your list of people this week that you're like, okay, like, here's your opportunity. How can you make the team?
I'm really curious about some of these defensive linemen that we have seen thrive. Like, and I'm not just talking about, like, we know Austin Booker's going to make the team, but I've enjoyed the hell out of watching him. Daniel Hardy has done nothing but make plays. Does that add up for him? I'm still very much zeroing in on Zach Pickens. He'll make the team too. Obviously, this is second year, third round pick, but I want to know if he's going to make the jump. And then some of these other guys too, like linebacker, Micah Baskerville, one of your guys, coming up with the big interception in the second preseason game. And then, Amen Ogbogbamiga doing what he did last week. Like, some of these peripheral guys I'm definitely looking forward to watching. And then running backs too. Like, I feel like that's been one of the little themes throughout this whole camp is, is Khalil Herbert going to make the team? Is Roshan healthy? Is he ready to be the backup quarterback to DeAndre Swift? Is this Velus Jones Jr. Does it have any kind of leg? So I'll be interested to see who's running the ball still in the third and fourth quarters for the Bears, tomorrow night.
This may be a little in the weeds, Mark, but I know we've talked about position battles, for example, at wideout or receiver, whichever you prefer. We just talked about another one. I'm still trying to also figure out how many tight ends they want to carry.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really interesting because you have obviously the two primary tight ends in Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. And then I know that they would have brought back Mercedes Lewis if they weren't going to keep him on this roster. And there's a couple of the younger guys too that have thrived so far. Mercedes Lewis is extra offensive lineman essentially. So, and I think that you definitely want that going into the season. So my guess is three or four at this point, Layla, but I don't have a total handle on that at this moment.
And that's the blasting game question that we talked about yesterday too. That all factors in when you start talking about who's doing what on special teams and who's contributing what with some level of versatility.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Like, Kari Blaskamp just keeps coming back for more. And I think in the third training camp with him, he always is I always feel like they're trying to and I guess this is all NFL teams with fullbacks these days. I feel like they're always trying to figure out exactly how much they want to use Kari blasting him. I remember last year in camp, them going downfield to blasting game at one point in time with a pass. It might have been a scramble drill, but he was downfield nonetheless. He's caught a couple passes here. Like, in other words, he's been very present during these practices. But then once the regular season starts, you're like, where did Kari Blassen game go? So it just feels like that position is such a conundrum for offensive coordinators. And I think Shane Waldron ultimately will have a lot of say in what the role is, if anything, for Kari Blassen game this year.
Speaking of Shane Waldron, now that you've seen him after a couple of games and you've listened to him talk offense, what have been your impressions of him?
Yeah, so far so good. I like that he's pretty straightforward. I mean, this is a guy who, like, just personality-wise, he's a little shy when he speaks to us. He's not a bombastic personality. He's not a yeller. He's not loud or anything like that. And we just want a little bit of transparency when it comes to the questions that we ask of offensive coordinators in general, because we know there's only so much they can say about what exactly happened. But I think so far, I think he's done a pretty good job of being honest with us and letting us know what's going on. And I've liked the things that I've seen from Waldron so far in terms of adjusting in games. And I think the biggest thing that we've seen is just the way he has catered his play calling exactly to Caleb Williams. And we've heard coaches and offensive coordinators with the Bears of the past say that and then take a long time to actually get there. It took a long time for the Bears to say, Mitch Trubisky only gets half the field. You know, it took a long time for anybody to figure out how to use Justin Fields, if they ever did. And now, right from the start, they are doing what they are saying they are doing, and that is to make this quarterback, number 18, Caleb Williams, I'm looking at right now as the two teams start to, or the two sides huddle up for 7-on-7 right now, to make Caleb Williams as comfortable as possible, and so far so good.
Hey, Groats, what happened with you and Jason Leisure? I think Studs has it here that there was a bit of a conflict in the way you guys were trying to ask a question. It sounded a little like this.
When you talk about Caleb's ability to understand.
Okay. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, okay, I guess Leisure's just gonna trample all over me here. What happened?
Yeah, I was a little irritated at that moment. I mean, we get over it, and I still love LL. I still love Leisure, but you know, he's sitting right in the front there, right in front of the coach. He'd had a few questions already, and I had already gotten interrupted, so I was going to go through with that question as long as I could, as I possibly could. And yeah, I was a little bit, put off by the end of it, but it happens. Those are the wars we deal with here, as Lawrence calls it. It's the City Hall of Sports. You know, I mean, can't always get all of our questions in, but yeah, I was a little pissed at that moment, not going to lie. Brody gets pissed.
Ooh, just like you did with Nate Davis. The fire and passion is coming out. I like it.
That's right.
Threw my arms up, you know, Jason, it's all good now. I haven't even said anything to him. It's all good, but, you know, that's the heat of the moment stuff. That's what we do out here, heat of the moment.
I overreact all the time. I completely understand. That was an appropriate reaction.
He'll fight you.
Yeah,
be ready.
Yeah.
I overreact and remember the time I misspoke, like, for the next 7 days. It's going to happen.
They should arm wrestle, I think, to settle it.
Yes, arm wrestle to settle it.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had plenty of arm wrestling last night, didn't we?
Yep. Thanks, Groats. Appreciate it, man.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Bye. Bears training camp coverage presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.